All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon, world, and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW2 type, 1969 helicopter pilot, Republic of Vietnam. We want to welcome you to Veterans Radio today. We're going to be talking about the VA quite a bit during today's program, so we encourage you to give us a call here on the air. The number, if you've got your pencil right in front of you right now, is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. Or you can call us toll-free at 844-838-1600. It's 844-838-1600. We've got veteran service officers on the program. We've got veterans advocates on the program. And as you all know, we like to look, try to find jobs for veterans. And so my first guest right now, actually joining us on the air, is the founder of a group called the Seven Eagle Group. And I'll let him talk about that group and what he does. And joining me right now is Jordy Kern. Jordy, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hey, Dale, how are you? Thank you
so
much
really
for
well.
Having me on. I really appreciate that.
Well, it's always a privilege and an honor to bring people on that are trying to help veterans find jobs, and I know that you're very, very involved with that. So tell me a little bit about the Seven Eagle Group.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we are about 10 people spread out around the country right now. Half of us are civilians, half are veterans. And what we do is we connect employers with talented military veterans who are either unemployed or underemployed and just looking for great opportunities. We are really passionate about the work we do, and it's just one of those really feel-good careers for us, and we're very fortunate mm-hmm. to have a chance to not only get companies who we great workers and people who we feel are ones who can help them grow and achieve all their goals, but to also be able to help our servicemen who have men and women who have done so much for us, and so it's just a really nice a nice opportunity that we have, and we're really excited. And in addition to connecting veterans with our clients, we also provide free mentorship and educational advice and information for any veteran who is looking for just help with their career and guidance. Because one of the things I've noticed over the years is, you know, especially when you're out of work, it's tough. It's really hard, and it can be very depressing, and you feel like you're on your own and on an island, and you know, trying to fight this battle on your own to get hired. And we want veterans everywhere to know that, you know, we're here for them, and we'll do whatever we can to help people with their careers.
Well, it's kind of an unusual approach, I guess you could say, to employment for veterans, because you contact the corporations first, don't you?
Yeah, we go about it first by finding clients. So that sort of drives the whole process. We found it's a lot easier to get a client on board and get a company excited about the idea of hiring veterans first, and then we go out and try to find the right veteran for that opportunity, the veteran who's going to exceed or is going to excel in that role. Mm-hmm. And we do that a number of ways. I mean, we advertise positions on a number of job boards, but we also proactively reach out to veterans. We search profiles on LinkedIn, and when we feel we might have a good match for one of our clients, we reach out to that veteran. We evaluate him or her to make sure that it's a good fit. And if it is, then something a little bit unique that we do is we present them with little two-minute videos, little highlight videos. I'm not a big resume guy.
Okay. Well, yeah, right. Yeah, yes, we did that. I forgot. Yes.
Yeah. I don't feel it's a good, you know, indicator of, you know, of a candidate, you know, mm-hmm. a sheet of paper. I feel our, you know, hiring managers would rather be able to see that person on camera and how he or she presents himself and the enthusiasm and excitement and everything they can't evaluate on a resume they can see on video. So that's, we've had a lot of success with that, and the clients really appreciate it.
Well, in today's world, video seems to be the way to go, because I know that a lot of students especially make video resumes to send out, because I guess it just attracts more attention.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's hard too. It's very few. I feel the military, even though it does an incredibly great job at preparing our veterans for life in the civilian world, I think it does a poor job at helping them with their careers and writing resumes and, you know, job search skills to really present themselves in the best possible light. And, you know, that's where the video really helps. So somebody who might not have had, you know, might not have a great resume, you see them on camera and you're just like, wow, this person is incredible. We got to get him or her in here for an interview.
Right. Well, yeah, we're talking with Jordy Kern, who's the founder of the Seven Eagle Group, which matches corporations with veterans. And so, Jordy, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, you could find us at 7eagle.com. That's the number 7, the word eagle.com. We're also on all the social media pages by just searching that 7 Eagle Group, and you'll find us. And then my phone number is 914-469-9875. Feel free to call me anytime if you have questions, need help with your search. We never turn anyone away. We'll help anyone who reaches out to us. That's what we do.
And what is the cost of this service?
It's everything we do is free to military veterans. The companies who we work for pay us a small fee if we're successful at helping them find a good hire. So everyone, what I like too is we're all on the same side here. We're all, you know, we have the same interests. When veterans reach out to us, we're trying to get you hired. So, yeah, that's what it is.
Well, it sounds like a great program, Jordy, and I appreciate your contacting us. And we're very pleased to, you know, publish, you know, what you're doing. And we've got your information up on our website, but I'll remind people it's 7 Eagle Group. It's 7, the number 7eagle.com. And you can reach Jordy any time of day or night.
You got it. Well, Dale, thanks again. And thank you for the great work you guys are doing at the radio network. It's so nice to know there are people like you out there helping so many of our veterans. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Jordy. And have a very merry Christmas and a happy holiday. Thank
you. Likewise. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Again, just for our audience out there, make sure that you go to our website. You can find the 7eagle.com logo on there. Also, you can go to the website, 7eagle.com, and all their information is up there. Let me give you Jordy's number one more time. That's 914-469-9875. While I've got your attention, if you've got a company out there that is looking to hire veterans or anything along those lines, just give us a call. You can go to our website, veteransradio.net, click on the Contact Us, send us the message, and we will get back to you and get you on the program and let you promote your company or your product, whatever it is, especially if you're a veteran-owned company. We'd love to publicize all of those different types of organizations. And with the holidays coming up, if you have a particular product that you think veterans might be interested in, feel free. Again, go to that contact button on our website and let us know if you've got if you sell shirts or medals or medallions, whatever it is that you think a veteran or their family might be interested in getting for them, let us know. We'll be happy to help promote that for you as well. We're going to take a real quick break right now, and when we come back, our guests, we've got Michael Smith right here. We've got retired General Carol Ann Falzon. We're going to be talking about your favorite place for medical care, and that's the VA, wherever you happen to be, and we're going to talk about benefits. We're going to be talking about what we think might be going on at the VA, and of course, we encourage you to give us a call here at Veterans Radio. Again, I'll give that number out, 734-822-1600 or 844-838-1600. We want to hear your stories, whether they're good or bad. Maybe, you know, when we're out there, and if we run into a problem sometimes with the VA, we always kind of feel like we're alone. But I want to let you know that there are some other people that may have similar problems, or maybe they've found a way to solve them. So Tune in. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short message.
Shuffle to the left, shuffle to the right, shuffle around the circle till your head feels light. Shuffle down the hall till you see the sign, and you're back where you started at the end of the line. Just do the VA shuffle,
VA shuffle,
VA shuffle,
VA shuffle.
A lot of patience for that, but that's a patient at the VA hospital.
Yeah. Now we're back on Veterans Radio, and that song was done by Michael J. Martin, veteran troubadour, just a wonderful man, wonderful guy, highly decorated. He was a point man when he was in Vietnam. Unfortunately, he passed away, I think, probably as a result of some of the exposures that he had over there. But we just love his music, and if you want to know more about Michael J. Martin, you can just get a hold of us, and we can get a hold of his music. He's got a lot of CDs and things that his daughter has been upgrading, I guess you could say, or remastering. That's the term, as everybody in the radio station looks at me going, what are you thinking, Dale? Remastering, or digitizing some of his music. So let us know if you're interested in that. Joining me on the line right now is a good friend of ours, and that is Carol Ann Fausson, Brigadier General, retired from the United States Air Force. And let me give you a little background on this woman. She's amazing herself. General Fausson served the country for over 34 years. From 2003 to 2011, she was the Assistant Adjutant General for Veterans Affairs for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs for the state of Michigan. She is a very, very strong advocate for Veterans Affairs. And Carol Ann, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's great to have you, and I'm going to ask you to hold on for a second. My other guest is Michael Smith, and Michael is the director of the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs as well. He is a veteran service officer. His whole office takes care of any problems that you have with the VA. And so, Michael, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dale. It's always good to be here on Veterans Radio.
It's always good to have you give us a promo. Thank you. All right. I asked both of you to come on the program today because there are a lot of things going on at the Veterans Administration. And Carol Ann, I guess I know that you have been heavily involved with, you know, what is going on over there. And I was wondering if you could kind of give us an update of what you think is happening there.
Well, Dale, and good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon.
You know, it's real interesting. It depends on what topic you're attempting to address. I get multiple phone calls regarding from our veterans on how come it's taking so long to get a claim processed, how do I get into medical services over at, say, Ann Arbor or Detroit. So the phone calls can vary. It depends on the needs of each veteran. And as we well know, every veteran is different, and you have different needs. Recently, I think a lot of the things that have been coming up have been regarding the appeals process, the length of it, how are we going to get some of these issues resolved.
Right. And I know, Michael, you had something that you wanted to talk about that, because they've relatively recently finally instituted a way of appealing a claim.
Well, that was correct. The president signed into law the Appeals Modernization and Improvement Act, and that was basically a new idea about how the VA can approach the appeals process, make it a lot more streamlined, make it faster, make it more efficient and more effective than the current system that has been in place for many years that, as Carol Ann has already indicated, is a serious problem for a lot of veterans. When you start thinking about the initial form that goes in to appeal a decision, it's called a notice of disagreement that kind of starts triggers the appeal process. You have a lot of options that can go on during that 1 year to perfect the appeal, including having a hearing with a decision review officer. And if none of those things satisfies the appeal, then the Form 9, the substantive appeal, can be done within a year of the notice of disagreement so that we can protect the earlier effective date. And that goes to some other decision maker in the regional office of jurisdiction that could quite possibly take another bite at the apple. Mind you, veterans or claimants can always submit new evidence during this process, and if they do, that triggers certain legal responsibilities or obligations on the VA. And because of those legal obligations and what keeps the appeal alive, that's pretty much what adds to the length of time. And if it's finally certified to the Board of Veterans Appeals, then there's other options there. The veteran or claimant can have a hearing before an administrative law judge, either by video teleconferencing or through a travel board of the Board of Veterans Appeals, when those administrative law judges go on the road and visit regional offices all around the United States and the territories. That process then could lead to 3 to almost 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another example of our deny, deny until they die thing. Maybe.
Well, many veterans, many claimants feel that way, isn't that right, Carol Ann?
Yeah, and you know, the irony is, and Michael, you're very correct. The president has signed this new law in, but when you ask them, okay, what is the process? Well, you know, we're gonna work through these issues. But there is a bigger factor, and that is the backlog. We are seeing 6 years. We're seeing if it comes back from the board, BVA approves something, then it goes to the RO. And I deal with cases through Legal Help for Veterans all around the country. So it depends on how each RO handles that. That's RO is regional office. And some, I know, are still looking at NODs, as Michael indicated, the notice of disagreement, from 6-7 years ago. Just Friday, a veteran called me and said, Carol Ann, what does this mean? BVA granted him service connection, and he says, but my letter doesn't have any rating. My letter doesn't have anything. And I explained to him that it needs now to go back to the RO, and the review officers will make that decision. They will review the case again and come up with that rating decision, and then award or determine how far back you're going to go. In this veteran's case, and I am so sad to say this, it is 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I got a letter like that for a hearing. It said, and I didn't even apply for anything on a hearing thing. It just said, no qualified for, I forget what it said exactly, something about that my hearing had been affected, but not enough, and your disability rating is zero.
Correct. But you're service connected, and so you're right. So you got a notice that, yes, this is service connected, but guess what? You're not going to get any money for it. We're not going to take this back 10 years. And so, Dale, I do understand that. So we will await to hear what's going to happen for this veteran and, you know, hundreds of other veterans who are waiting to hear how their claim is going.
Right. She's correct. So when the BVA makes a decision, in some instances, if it was an outright denial, there was never a grant. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to write the rating decision, and that typically falls on the regional office of jurisdiction. So it comes back with the BVA saying, this is approved. Now you have to write a rating decision that will provide the evaluation, the disability rating, and the effective date, and all those things that are required by the VA now to notify the claimant mm-hmm. of a decision.
I was always surprised when I got that letter after then they called me up and gave me, I don't know, $8,000 hearing aids. What? And I said, oh, okay. Well, we said, I should point out to our audience, we're talking with retired Lieutenant General Carol Ann Falzone, who's affiliated with Legal Help for Veterans, which are very good friends and sponsors of Veterans Radio, and they do a great job of helping with appeals on claims and also helping with filing claims. And we've got Michael Smith here from the local Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs. So if you have any questions about benefits, you know, give us a call. You know, maybe they can show you how to get it started. I know that online you can do it, but that seems pretty confusing probably to some people. And I think, you know, we'll probably get into a discussion of what is going on at the VA as far as treatment is concerned, because I know that, Carol Ann, you brought that up earlier on. Again, our number here is 734-822-1600.
Dale, I need to point out to you, you've just made me a happy camper. You just gave me a 2-star promotion. You call me a lieutenant general. I'm a brigadier general, so, man, I just made 2 additional stars very
there
quickly.
There you go. That should help your pension, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He should have been involved in the process when you're still serving us so well in the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, speaking about different levels of government providing services to veterans. We all know about the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, or we all affectionately refer to them as VA. But, you know, there's a lot of other folks involved with serving veterans, and it's primarily at the local level. Mm-hmm. And then in the state of Michigan, there's a small contingency of folks who assist veterans. And the governor created the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency by an executive order in March of 2014. Or 2013, excuse me. Mm-hmm. So they're over 4 years old. But prior to them, there was a small directorate, the Veterans Affairs Directorate within the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and that was the directorate over which Brigadier General Carol Ann Fasson oversaw. And I tell you the honest truth, and, you know, maybe my phone will be ringing tomorrow at work, but it seemed to me like life was a whole lot simpler back then, a whole lot more efficient, and a whole lot more effective. And I really do sometimes look fondly back on those memories that during the time that the Michigan Association of County Veteran Counselors worked together with General Fasson, and given the landscape the way it is now, there's about 100 or so of us county veteran service officers that wish life was a lot more simpler like it was back in those days, just to let you know that.
Well, Michael, thank you so kindly. You know what? Given you the shout out earlier today, if I would have known your number, I was talking about our county counselors out there to a couple constituents this afternoon who are literally trying to get assistance. One young lady for her dad, and she doesn't know where to go. And so we sat down, we were mapping out some things, whether it's the aid in attendance, which he is the veteran, he needs health care, getting enrolled in the VA, which, she never knew that her dad could go over there and be evaluated. And so it's like, Carol Ann, who do I turn to? And so depending on what county you live in, the county counselors have been spectacular over the years to be, one-on-one and sit down and explain to you. And I think that's what gets overshadowed sometimes. There's all these benefits and you could talk to so many people, or they say, go and fill out these forms. But guess what? I think, Michael, you could address this too. If the forms aren't filled out correctly and they get sent back after review, maybe it's 3 months, 6 months, you've made no progress.
Exactly.
And so I tell individuals, I don't care how experienced you are, how many degrees you have, get to a county counselor, get to a veteran service officer, get to somebody that understands how to fill out these forms, so you are going to get maximum opportunity to get your benefits.
Absolutely.
It is. It's so important. And you just mentioned a benefit that probably most people don't know, and that's the ability of a caregiver to help out dad or uncle or aunt or whoever it might be, because some of these older veterans, and I think I include myself in there now finally, we don't know what's available to us because of the VA and all their publicity and so forth, trying to get us to know more and more, is that it almost seems like sometimes we're overwhelmed, and so we know less and less.
Well, with the aid in attendance, there, that is a great example of a benefit that not only could help the veteran if they need health care, but the spouse. And, there are very few benefits out there that could aid a spouse. If you go after the aid in attendance or DIC.
What's DIC?
Or a burial benefit. But sometimes it's too late and they don't even know that these benefits are out there.
Well, we're going to find out more about these benefits as we go around to the bottom of the hour. We've got about 2 minutes to go, and we've got a gentleman on the line. I'm going to bring him on real quick. Gary, welcome to Veterans Radio. What's the issue?
Thank you. This is the first time I've listened to your program, and it sounds very depressing, but I want to tell you guys some good news that I'm a vet, and I've been to the VA many, many times, and I've never had a bad experience. They've covered all my problems and keeping me alive, quite literally.
Well, thank you for that, because we don't want to denigrate the VA entirely, because I've only had good experiences over there myself. But I know that there are people that have had some issues, and we just want to talk about how we can solve some of those issues. So, Gary, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
I will.
Thank you, Gary, for your service.
Okay. All right. We got less than a minute, so we're going to take a break here at the bottom for the news, and then we're going to come back, and we've got a local VA that is in Ann Arbor here that is opening up, I guess you'd call them satellite clinics, a little bit more. And so we're going to have a representative that will be talking to us about that for about 5 minutes or so. Brian Hayes, who's a PR guy at the local VA. So we'll be doing that. In the meantime, stick around. We want to know what's going on with you in the Ann Arbor VA or any VA around the country. You're listening to Veterans Radio. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and my name is Dale Thronberry, and I get to be your host today on Veterans Radio. We've been doing this now for 14 years. We're really proud of what we've been able to accomplish during that time period, and joining me in the studio is Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County of Veterans Affairs, and on my line is Brigadier General retired Carol Ann Falzone, who is a strong veterans advocate and affiliated with Legal Help for Veterans. But joining me on the line right now is from the Ann Arbor VA, is Brian Hayes, who is the Public Affairs Officer. Brian, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Hi, thanks, and hi, everybody. It's like getting the old band back together.
It is. It's always good to hear you and see you, Brian.
And Brian, thanks for all that you do over at the Ann Arbor VA.
Oh, you guys are too much. No, thank you.
All right, well, we've got a new clinic, evidently, that I just learned about that the VA has... is setting up with the generous donation of a local business. Can you tell me a little bit about that one?
Well, we've got a couple of clinics, actually. We opened up a new location on Packard Road, at 3800 Packard Road. Actually, the location has been there for a while. We've had mental health services out there for quite some time. But recently we moved our audiology clinic out there, and our comp and pen is out there now. So that's at 3800 Packard Road. So it's a really nice facility. We had it completely remodeled and redone. It's, it turned out to be really nice.
Yeah, it is. I was over there the other day. It's very, very nice. It's just off of just west of Carpenter.
Right. And then we have the other new location, which we just opened, beginning of this month on Green Road, just off of Plymouth. And that's got our sleep clinic now and dermatology out there.
Oh, okay. So why are we moving around?
Well, we're making room for clinic space in the hospital. Where you know there's a huge expansion coming on the first floor where primary care is.
Right.
Once the welcome center is completed, it's going to start moving sort of toward into primary care, where a lot of those services, such as travel and eligibility and all those kinds of things, are VSOs. They're going to move basically right to the front, right where the Welcome Center is. And that space where those folks are now, where you go to get paid for travel and all that, that's going to become more primary care clinics. So we're opening up access.
Oh, okay. That'll be great. It gets a little confusing sometime when you get in there as to what direction you're supposed to go.
Well, it does. And that's kind of the whole theory behind moving the veteran service officers and some of those sort of one-off services where you come in to go to travel or go to eligibility or go to the patient library or whatever, put that right up front so you don't have to navigate 9 floors of hospital to get something done really quick. We want to put that right up front.
Well, it's greatly appreciated. And I neglected to ask, who is it that provided the space up on Green Road?
I'm not sure exactly who the company is. We're leasing it. Nobody's giving it to us.
Okay.
So it's your taxpayers at work, or your tax dollars at work. We're paying for that space.
Okay. Well, the initial PR piece I got on it was that it's being provided by a local realty company, and I'll give them a shout out as soon as I can find their name in all my notes here. But
I'm sure they're making some concessions for us, but no, the VA is paying for that property.
Okay. Well, tell me what else is going on. I'll give you a couple of minutes for a couple of announcements for what's happening at the Ann Arbor VA.
Well, coming up on the 11th, I wanted to let everybody know at 10:45 in the auditorium, we're having another Veterans Town Hall. And that's going to be open to everybody if you want to come by. All veterans, veteran families, media, if you want to drop on by. And our network director, Robert McDivitt, is going to be there. You guys remember Mr.
Yeah,
McDivitt?
He used to be the director here
in Ann Arbor. Now he runs the show now in Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana.
Could you give us that date and time again?
Yep, that's going to be December 11th at 10:45 to 11:45 in the brand new renovated auditorium.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, it's open for business.
Yeah, auditorium. All right.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down here.
Great.
See if I can read that.
But other than that, it's steady as she goes. We're looking at hopefully a late spring, early summer opening time for that brand new welcome center. I think we're going to be, as I understand it, and things can be pretty fluid when it comes to construction in a hospital, but as I understand it, we're going to be able to drop off patients fairly soon, sometime this winter, and be able to navigate through that entrance, but it won't actually be completed until probably May, June of next year.
All right. Well, it's getting there. It's a lot easier to get around. You know, once you figure out what level you're on when you park in a new parking structure, it's very helpful. And I know that there's
Yeah, and we're doing some work about maybe getting possibly some more golf carts out into the parking ramp to help folks navigate to get into the hospital, because it can be, if you end up parking somewhere kind of at the end of the parking ramp there, it could be a bit of a walk to get into the hospital. So we want to make sure we mitigate against some of that.
Well, that is going to be greatly appreciated. Michael has a question for you.
Brian, I'm just wondering if you've had any feedback since you've moved the compensation and pension clinic over to the Packard Road facility of any difficulties veterans have with completing their compensation and pension exams, especially when it relates to services that they need that are still located at the main hospital, such as x-rays and blood work and things of that nature. Have you had any feedback on that process?
I haven't gotten any feedback, good or bad, on that, to be honest with you. Nobody's really commented whether it's a problem. It is, it's a give and take. So it's a lot easier to get in there, to get your appointment in there, to park. You don't have to navigate anything. You're basically in and out. It's no more difficult than going to a strip mall. But there might be some times where you have to pop back over to the hospital on another day and get some x-rays done or whatever, blood drawn or whatever you need, some labs.
Well, I want to thank you, Brian, very much for being on the program today, and I want to remind people that there are a lot of events going on at the VA, especially at this time of year. You may need to check with your local veteran service club like the American Legion, VFW. I know the VVA is going to be out there. Washtenaw Community College is collecting money for gifts and so on and so forth. So if you want to get involved, and I know that you're always looking for volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly could always use more volunteers. Oh, and don't let me forget, I wanted to remind you, too, when we do the town hall on December 11th at 10:45, we're also going to have EBA out there doing benefits clinics. So
you
can come by early, stay late. They're going to have the VBA regional office in Detroit is going to have folks there connected into their laptops so they can do some benefits checks and stuff like that. So
All right. So everybody mark down your calendar, December 11th, 10:45 or a little bit earlier probably at the VA auditorium here at the Ann Arbor VA off of Fuller Road.
That's right.
And be there, be square, as they say. Thanks very much. I greatly appreciate you, Brian, being on the program.
All right. Thanks, guys. Nice talking to everybody again. We'll see you next time.
Bye, Brian.
Sam, we'll
see you
soon.
Happy holidays.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I did hear that I got a, I don't know what you call it, press release, I guess it was, that the White House VA hotline is now open. And it says it's the White House VA hotline now fully staffed and operational around the clock to serve our nation's veterans. Is anybody, either one of you, familiar with that?
Dale, also was to see a release. I haven't heard much of anything else.
Okay, this is non-emergency, so this is not the emergency hotline that we've already got up on our website and that you can find pretty much anywhere, the suicide hotline. This is just evidently, if you have any questions about what's going on at the Department of Veterans Affairs, you can give them a call. And a hotline, the number, again, write your numbers down here, folks. The number is 855-948-2311, and that's 855-948-2311, and it says it is the VA's first non-clinical, non-emergency, around-the-clock call center. This is a number that you would call if you have an issue with some care and treatment you may be receiving at the VA. And then it says, according to this, that this provides veterans a supplemental option to report issues if they are not being addressed through the VA's normal customer service channels.
And that's correct. That's both for the benefits side of the house, the Veterans Benefits Administration that administers compensation and pension, home loan guarantees, education, insurance, as well as the healthcare side of the house from the Veterans Health Administration and problem resolution there. It was launched in June, and like Brigadier General Fasson said, we got a press release announcing the initial launch, and then a subsequent release where they were identifying that their goal was to staff that call center with as many veterans as possible. Okay. And now that it's gone fully live, they're saying they're about 90% of the staff that monitors that hotline are veterans.
It says since October, the hotline has served more than 10,000 calls. That's pretty interesting.
Yes, it's an amazing access to another agency. We always love our legislators and the fact that they have legislative oversight of administrative agencies, but it's nice to see that the White House is getting involved in this regard and having another avenue by which veterans or claimants can keep the VA accountable.
I like that. I'm only chuckling at it that we all love our legislators.
Well, the work that they do.
Sometimes it's questionable. Excuse me. That was
if you remember, the legislators passed a law, the Veterans Identification Card Act, back in 2015, and then President Barack Obama signed it into law on the 27th of July, I believe, in 2015. But it's now taken almost 2 years for the VA to get that program up and running, but it is now available. Mm-hmm. So veterans can go online, actually, to vets.gov, and there's a place there that they can click on Apply for Printed Veteran ID Card. And the VA is saying that after you engage the process online, it's going to be about 60 days or so for you to receive a veteran's identification card. And these cards are only for veterans who have discharges that are honorable. So that's one stipulation. It's not for everyone who served and believes they're a veteran. Mm-hmm. It's for those who are veterans based on their...
Is this another card that maybe we could use with a Stolen Valor type of veterans?
Yes. So, they're going to verify your military service. And when they issue that card, that means you have been granted or recognized as a veteran mm-hmm. by the U.S. government. And it's specifically, again, in response to civilians, civilian business owners who want to give or extend discounts to veterans. And, of course, always require some kind of photo ID. And currently, we're working with a lot of different means by which to do that. You either have a retired military ID card, an active military ID card, or you have your veteran's health identification card. And not everyone's got that because they're not getting their health care at the VA. And then there are some county governments here in Michigan, like Washtenaw County Government, who many years ago, in response to this, provide that service through the county clerk's office. Okay. But now, and then the state of Michigan, of course, placed the veteran's designation on your driver's license. So we've got now a lot of different ways by which we can identify ourselves as veterans.
That's true. We want to make sure, because we have listeners outside of our immediate area, that this is now nationwide.
That's correct.
So wherever you happen to live and wherever you happen to be listening to the program, now you can apply for your printed veteran ID card, which is kind of cool. It says this way you wouldn't have to carry around our DD-214 anymore. to get our discounts.
That's right.
Well, but that brings up a great point, because I got a call, several calls on Friday, Michael, I gave our county counselors a big shout-out, and also the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, that 1-800-MISHVET. What if I don't and I can't find my DD-214? How do I get it?
Yeah.
That is a huge issue.
Well, how do they get it then?
Well, there's a couple different ways, and by contacting 1-800-MISHVET, which is the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, they might have copies there that, you know, they could send out with proof that it's you and you're requesting it. You could also go through the personnel center, and some counties, Michael, do you house any of the DD-214s these days?
Yes, as a matter of fact, most county governments record the discharges of veterans based on a 1851 law that requires the recording of veterans' discharges by the county clerks, but also many county departments of Veterans Affairs, like my department. If a veteran came to our office for services, or his or her survivor or dependents, we maintain in our own office what we call our discharge file, and most of those contain certified or notarized copies of the discharge as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think that is important, because we don't want people going online and paying money for somebody to track down their DD-214 when they could get it for free.
Well, yeah, and it is free. The free issuance from the county clerk's office, the free issuance from the National Archives at the National Personnel Records Center, and of course through 1-800-MISHVET, the resource center there in Lansing maintains right there, right on spot. Are the discharges, with the exception of some of our World War II and Korean War veterans. They're at the archives off-site, but they can access them as well.
So I would suggest, if whatever state that you happen to be in, that they probably have similar offices that will take care of that for you, because my DD-214 is not in Michigan, I'm sure, unless I gave it to somebody. Oh, yeah, I did. That's right. anyway, there was one other thing Michael, that you talked about as far as peacetime veterans are becoming eligible for, and I forget exactly what you were talking about earlier.
Well, so I'm glad you're mentioning the facts that you have listeners that are outside of the state of Michigan, but I will speak on this issue because it's unique to the state of Michigan. We have certain state benefits and local county government benefits for veterans and their survivors and dependents in Michigan. But because of the way our law, Public Act 190 of 1965 defines veteran, or the laws that provide certain benefits through county government or state government defines veterans, those services are specifically for veterans who are on active duty during a recognized period of war. So our Veterans Relief Fund, which goes back to Public Act 214 of 1899, requires that county governments in the state of Michigan provide relief to veterans and their survivors and their parents and their dependents who are indigent. And for many years, counties around the state have done that through a lot of different means, either through county general fund money or by levying the millage that is provided for in the statute, or in other cases by an operational millage. So Washtenaw County did their mandate for many years, from about 1950 to 2008, using general fund money. Then our Board of Commissioners passed a resolution levying a millage, and it was unvoted because it predated the Headley Amendment, and provided for our Veterans Relief Fund through a specific dedicated millage. So from 2009 until 2016, that's how we paid for that mandate. Well, last year, the voters of Washtenaw County went out and approved an operational millage to pay for the entire operation and administration of our office and all the functions, including our legal mandates to provide relief and burial allowances to veteran residents and their survivors here in Washtenaw County. Well, because it's an operational millage, we're not necessarily restricted to the law that says we have to specifically use it for wartime veterans. Now we have to make sure and ensure that there's enough of that money available to provide relief for them, which we've done that through the budget process. But just recently, our Veterans Affairs Committee, along with our county Board of Commissioners and our county administrator, Greg Dill, our corporation counsel, Kurt Hedger, my business analyst, Kim Coy, we all sat down and I brought the grand idea to them that, you know what, it'd be nice if we could set aside some of that money to provide for the financial relief of our peacetime veterans here in Washtenaw County. And so on January 1st, 2018, it will go into effect that we will have set aside $100,000 specifically to be used for the financial relief of peacetime veterans who are residents or their survivors or dependents who are residents here of Washtenaw County.
Oh, that's great.
That's excellent, Michael. Could we go back for just a minute, Dale, if we
sure.
have a minute? Talking about the new ID card, the card that's coming out, you know, for our community, sponsors that want to give, you know, discounts and things to veterans. A question came up. Does that apply to your peacetime veteran who never went to active duty and doesn't have a DD-214? What would you say to that, Michael?
Yes, absolutely. Those veterans who have proof of their military service are currently being issued veteran ID cards through our Washtenaw County Clerk's Office, regardless of their wartime or peacetime status. The only requirement there, and I believe for those vendors who are willing to extend these discounts to the veteran community, is that you're a veteran, regardless
Excellent.
Of wartime service or peacetime service.
Great.
And we're really happy about that. And I believe that's the same case with the Veterans Identification Card that's going to be made available through the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The only stipulation that they said was that the person had to have an honorable discharge.
Okay. And so if you served in the Guard, the Reserves, for X number of years during peacetime, as long as you have that validation that you served and it was honorable.
Well, they did make a distinction, just like they do with their current definition of veteran is anyone who served on active duty in the armed forces. So if a person had just National Guard or Reserve time, they would not be eligible for the VA's Veterans Identification Card.
See, that's what I wanted clarified.
Now we know the distinction, though, between those members of the Guard and Reserve who were mobilized. Now, if they were mobilized, then yes, they will be eligible for the Veterans Identification Card as well.
Correct. Because when you go on active duty and serve like that, you receive a DD-214.
That is correct.
Yep.
See, this is why you listen to Veterans Radio.
I bet
you didn't know that, folks, did you? I certainly didn't. I just sit back and listen to you two just go on and on. You guys are both encyclopedias. That's great.
It is great, but it also adds, Dale, to some of the confusion, because the poor veterans
yes.
and their family will call and say, but I heard this and my loved one did serve, and so sometimes it does become difficult to, you know, the nuances when you get down to it, and I think that contributes sometimes to the frustration of our veterans.
I absolutely agree.
So. I think if you know, maybe the VA should do some PSAs or, you know, public service announcements announcing these things that are going on and show them, or at least give people a number. Maybe this number at the White House hotline now can maybe help answer some questions, you know, people that are confused. Because, you know, when you find out that your spouse has some sort of, you know, 100% disabled and the benefits that go along with that and you're not really aware of that, you know, maybe you didn't get the social worker or the benefits person at the VA that's the expert on it. And you may miss out on some things.
You're absolutely right. And you mentioned a group of folks that I have incorporated in my counseling of veterans and have shared this and the resources with my county veteran service officers who are on staff with me. What do we do to counsel a veteran who has just received that 100% permanently and totally disabling rating? Because not only is that person's money just changed, but the status over at the hospital has just changed.
Mm-hmm.
That person is now going to be exempt here in Michigan from paying property taxes. That person is going to be eligible for other state benefits like the 5 for 5, pays $5 and has a tag from the Secretary of State that's good for 5 years. In addition, they're eligible for a military identification card and access to all military installations for morale, welfare, and recreation, including access to the PX or BX and the commissary. And I also include in my counseling, and I share with them the Armed Forces Recreation Centers that they're eligible to go to, like Shades of Green down at Walt Disney World, or Halekoa right on Waikiki Beach in Oahu, or Edelweiss Lodge over in Germany, and or Point Betsy Lighthouse Cottage right here in the great state of Michigan, north of Frankfort, Michigan, on Lake Michigan. And I've stayed there before, and I tell you what, for a person with PTSD, that is probably the best Armed Forces Recreation Center to
just
go.
Sit there and look at the water.
Just go and look at it. And no one's around except for you and the pine trees and the sand dunes and the lake.
There's nothing better for that as far as I'm concerned. I think that's really fascinating. You know, we've got about 4 minutes ago. Carol Ann, what would you like to add to the conversation? What can we tell our veterans to do today?
Well, I think you should go to a county counselor, pick up the phone and call the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Find a resource. Call me at Legal Help for Veterans. You know, try to make sure you understand what you're entitled to. Reach out and make sure your family, your spouse, you know what you're entitled to. I think sometimes that happens and it's way too late.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. We have to convince these veterans that these are benefits that they've earned. You know, they're not just giving them away. These are
correct.
Know, when you signed up, this is the promise that they made. In fact, I just wanted to get this little jab in a little bit. There's at least two congressmen that I know of that are now out there promoting the idea of privatization of the VA entirely. And so the response that came back, and I can't remember, it was the commander of the VVA or the VFW, American, whatever it is, says, you know, if you don't want to take care of your veterans, quit making veterans.
Right. Well, you know, let me say that, you know, everybody should be contacting their congressmen, their senators, to stress, you know, you're a veteran. There's the, I know for years, we received calls when I was with Congressman Trott in the 11th District. I mean, individuals were trying to say, hey, I served my country for 20-some years, and I have a disability, and there's an offset. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I served my country, I deserve this retirement. So there are still some laws that we really need to help educate our congressional membership, because you know what, if you look at them, there's very few representatives out there that are veterans.
Right.
I agree. I think you've made some of the best suggestions that our veteran community can do. Contact county veteran service officers. Even if you're not eligible for anything, just the opportunity to sit down with someone and have a conversation and make the distinctions between what is and what isn't is not a waste of our times. We are being paid by you to provide this service, and we really, really would like our veteran community to be informed about what's available. Reach out to the state of Michigan. Reach out to your legislators here in the state of Michigan, because there are laws here in the state of Michigan that affect and impact our veteran community, and especially those in the National Congress. And you're right. I've oftentimes could not figure out why a person who retired from military service would have to have an offset to their retired pay based on the amount of money they get in disability compensation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, with Dale, your question about what should a service man or woman do, call Veterans Radio. If you have a question,
Absolutely. You
explore it. I want to really give a shout out to you, Dale, Bob Gould, and Jim Fossone for all of the guests, all of the issues you try to tackle at Veterans Radio. And I think that's another great resource. You're always trying to uncover and find out the answers.
We are. There goes our band. So I want to thank you both very much for being on the program today. Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County of Veterans Affairs. Brigadier General retired Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans and a veterans advocate herself. And we got to go. Holy smokes. So until next week, you are dismissed.